So we are in a new series called Lean. This year we're going to do something a little different. Each month we will look at a different word, a different idea. Kind of like Sesame Street does a word or number of the day. We are going to do a word of the month. This month is lean. Next month will be rooted. Each month has a key verse that the series will build around, this month's being Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Each week, then, we will talk about a different aspect of that key word. Today, we are looking at Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Or page 805 in your pew Bible. It says this: Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. A little while ago, we took up a collection to help the folks in Texas who were affected by Hurricane Harvey, and then that kind of morphed into a collection for the people that were affected by the hurricanes in Florida. And many of you gave to that cause because you watched the devastation unfold on the news, and honestly, it was terrible. There was so much death, there was so much destruction, it was awful. And I'm assuming that it is because of our focus on this, the fact that we just dealt with this, that when I read the story here in Matthew 8, this is where my mind went. It is true, there was much death, there was much destruction, much grief and heartache caused by Harvey, caused by the storms in Florida. But there's almost always stories of hope, stories of heroism and valor when times like these occur, when they arrive. I read one of those stories this week. Story about J.C. and Karen Spencer. They found themselves trapped inside their flooded home on a Monday morning. They called 911, but as many Houstonians found that weekend, the first responders were slammed with calls and unable to help everyone. So J.C. called the next logical place. Chick-fil-A. Now, of course, this is my favorite restaurant, so I'm already all ears, right? But the Spencers usually call in their breakfast orders every morning. And you know, they guess they would call ahead and let them know they're coming and here's what we want. But the neighborhood restaurant was closed because of the hurricane. Luckily, manager Jeffrey Urban was in. He was checking on things, and Urban wasn't planning on taking the calls, but when he saw the Spencer's number on the caller ID, he answered it, assuming they were calling to order breakfast. So KC placed an order for 2 grilled chicken burritos with extra egg and a boat. When Urban learned of Spencer's situation, he called Cindy Smith, another manager, who sent her husband and several neighbors to rescue the Spencers. We ended up where Cindy, the other manager, was able to get her husband and 4 of her neighbors on a boat and a jet ski all the way over to where he lived. The couple then rode to safety away from the rising waters inside their home. I got a picture. I think. There it is. Jet ski in her living room, and the moment of levity, but man, that would be so scary. That would be ridiculous. They said that there was no water on Sunday, and the hurricane was raging, and there was flooding going on, but they were fine. And all of a sudden, Monday morning, they got up, and it was like there was water up to their eyeballs. I could go on and on with all the stories that we saw from the flooding in Texas or Florida or New Orleans. And it seems that anytime there's a tragedy, anytime there's a disaster, there are always stories like this. So today, I want to encourage us that when the world presses in and when disaster arises, when the storms in our lives are raging, I want to prod us to lean in to Jesus. I want us to learn that when I lean on Jesus, when you lean on Jesus, we can face even the most devastating storms in life. Storms? I know a little bit about storms. At 22, I had a stroke. I lost all the use of the left side of my body. Or is it right side? One side. For a week, I couldn't move at all, and then things started slowly coming back, and I learned to talk again, and I learned to walk again, and I learned to use my hands again and do things like normal people do again. I learned to button my shirt again. That was a storm. It was a crazy storm. And after 4 years of a good first ministry, in my first ministry, the elders called me in to tell me that I have been doing a wonderful job at my youth ministry, but that they were cutting our staff from 4 to 1, and that I need to be looking for something else. My mother-in-law had heart issues, that we moved home from back home to upstate New York from Florida for. I was working at a church there part-time. A church plant. And then we moved up to New York, and that church plant that I had been a part of closed its doors soon after we moved back. And then there was Elijah. I know about storms. I know I've lived through some storms. So have you. I'm not naive to that. I can't tell you every one of what your storms have been, but I know that you've had some storms that you've had to endure. And some of them have been public, and some of them haven't. Some of them have been private, and you've been maybe fighting or wrestling with them for years. But we all have storms. And in fact, as we get deeper and deeper and closer to Jesus, it's like he says, you know what? There's going to be more. The closer you walk to me, the closer you walk with me, the storms are going to raise and they're going to rise, and it's going to happen in your life because you are doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, that's when Satan attacks, right? I shared with you all a few weeks ago about a minister friend of mine whose wife had been battling stage 4 cancer for 2 years. Unfortunately, this week she passed away. For 2 years, she and her family fought the good fight. Finally, in the end, her body couldn't take it anymore. So the question is, what did that do for them? What did leaning on Jesus do for them? It doesn't seem to have made much of a difference. She still died. And let me tell you, I believe it made all the difference in the world. Thousands of us who know their family have learned so much about what it is to lean on Jesus, to trust in Jesus through this time. We have watched Jill exude grace and joy. And ultimately, peace while battling for her life. And we have watched her family and her church family come around her and surround her and watch them all carry each other the last 2 years. Is it awful? Absolutely, it's awful. Is it a tragedy? Crushing, crushing tragedy. But did her and their example teach us much about leaning and trusting on Jesus? That is a resounding yes. Jill knows glory today. She sings with her Savior face to face today. And through it all, Paul's meditation was perfect. Our God can save us from the storm, but even if He doesn't, He's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of worship. He's still worthy of my allegiance. And sometimes God shows up in the fire and He protects you, and sometimes you have stage 4 cancer and you die. God doesn't promise us that He's going to rescue us from every little thing that we go through in life, but He does say that He is with us, and if we trust Him and lean on Him, that His presence will be with us through it all. And I believe to her dying breath, Jill was in the presence of Jesus. So we have three things to remember in light of Matthew 8, 23 through 27. The first thing is to remember the promises of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 8, up to this point, this passage of Scripture, Jesus had done a few things. He had healed a man with leprosy. He had healed the Roman officer's servant. He had taught some crowds, and he finally was tired and said, "You know what? Let's go across the water." And so Jesus responded, "What is something that I can get with?" He takes a nap. Jesus has given us a few things to remember and a few things that He has promised. In fact, Jesus promised lots of things, but I'm going to talk about a couple of them. One thing is that Jesus promised us life. Matthew 16, 24 through 25, then Jesus said to His disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Like I said, Jesus promised us like this life that's going to be perfect. He doesn't promise us a life that's going to be magical. What He promises is a life with Him and His presence and Him and us walking together. That's what He promises. And that life, He says, is a life that is immeasurable and unimaginable. And it's an amazing life. You have someone to lean on when the storms are tough. Then another thing He promised us was acceptance. John 6:37 says, "However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." Jesus says, if you're with me, if you're in me, if I am in you, you will never be rejected by me. And it may feel like you're all alone sometimes. It may feel like the storm you're walking through right now, you're walking through alone. But if you would just turn and see that Jesus is right there. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how good you've been. Jesus is always there with His arms out saying, "I love you. I know life is hard right now. I know things are rough right now, but I love you. And you are mine." And I hope that helps us. When storms arise, that we say, "You know what? I don't like my situation right now, but I know Jesus has me. And He's holding me in His hands." Another thing he has promised us is the reward. Mark 10:29-31. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life, but many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. I know that I have said it a lot this year or last year, but God always keeps His promises. There is nothing I am more sure of than that. He may not answer every prayer the way that I want Him to, but He promises that He will answer. He may not provide the way that I want Him to, but He promises that He will provide. He is always faithful. He always keeps His word. So when Jesus says that He will come back for us someday, I believe. I believe that. And when He tells us that when we don't know what to pray, that His Spirit will speak for us, I believe that. And when He tells us that His kingdom is different and that the first shall be last and those that want to be served must serve, I believe that. I take God at His promises. He always comes through. He always perseveres. He always loves and cares for us. He always loves us, His children. Always. The second thing we need to remember is the presence of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. If anybody wants to buy me a fun gift, you can get me this sweatshirt. It says, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. Does anyone else think this is amazing? These experienced fishermen, these disciples, that some have spent countless hours on the sea fishing, they're terrified. And what is Jesus doing? He's napping it out. I know. So many times we criticize the disciples because of how faithless and gutless they are. But I don't think that's the case here. These guys are really fearful for their lives. If a bunch of grizzled, salty fishermen whose home is on the sea are scared, it must have been really bad. So they fretted and they hemmed and they hawed. What does haw mean? I have no idea what I say that, I'm like, you know, hem and haw, like I don't know what a haw is. I don't even that could be something bad. I'm saying something awful. No, but they hemmed, they hawed. They remember then, finally, they're like, oh wait, we got somebody on the boat that might make a difference here. Let's wake Him up. He is healed. He has cast out demons. Surely this little storm will be no big deal for Him. Yeah, and they're like, yeah. You do it. No, you do it. You're the favorite one, right? You're the beloved. Rock, paper, scissor? Anybody? And so they go and they wake Him up. We also remember that we have a friendship with God. John 15:14-15 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. We also need to remember that He will never leave or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5-6. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Jesus wasn't going to let His friends fall. Jesus wasn't going to let His friends drown. The good news is we are His friends. He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let our foot slip. He's not going to let us drown. That's His promise. When your heart is His temple, when your heart is His house, not this church building, but when your heart is His house, then you will always have the presence of God with you. Jesus is literally with you every step of the way. Don't be timid. Don't be scared. You have Aslan, the great lion, living inside of you. He is for you, not against you. And when the storms hit in your life, He is not going to nap it out on you. He is always there with you. Even if we aren't happy with the storm of our life right now, He's always there. He's always with you. Just look. And remember the third thing, which is that remember the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke Him up shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and the waves obey Him." That is the power that the one who lives in you has. Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey Him. There is power in the name of Jesus. The sick are healed by the power of His word. Demons are sent away at the mention of His name. The lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, all because of the power of Jesus. That same power lives in you. It is yours for the taking whenever you want. We just have to ask. We ask Him and trust that He knows best. His way may be different than our way, but it is better. Don't you see? Do you know that this morning? Do you know the power of Jesus in your life? Greater is He that is in me. 1 John 4:4, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Jesus raised this dead man up to a new life, me. He started a work in me a long, long time ago that has stuck. And it's been a long process. But I am being renewed every day, restored every day, because greater is He that is in me than anything in the world. Do you trust His promises? Do you know His presence this morning? Do you know that power today? He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to live in you. To be used, you to be used by Him for His good purposes. Have you made that decision? I hope you have. If you haven't, today is a great day to do that. Today is a great day to begin a lifelong journey with Jesus, to trust into Him, to love Him, to be with Him, to worship Him, to stop trying to do everything on your own, to stop trying to tell the storms in your life to calm down. Because you can say that till you're blue in the face. It's never going to happen. It's not until the one that is greater in you than the powers of this world. It's not until He tells the storms to be calm that it actually happens. If you have a decision to make this morning, we ask you to come forward. If you don't want to do that, but you still would like a decision made, or you would like something prayed for this week, we just pray and ask that you would just tear off thing on the bulletin, write on it, and drop it in the offering plate on your way out. Our desire is that our church family, Bowen Christian Church, that we would help each other, we would carry each other as we all walk toward Jesus.